This week's beverage is a fine California Chardonnay by the ever-popular winery Two Buck Chuck, or better known in better circles as Charles Shaw from Trader Joe's. You know, it varies from bottle to bottle, but this one's not bad. And it certainly fits my budget right now. Okay, there's a lot pissing me off this week. In fact, there's so many things askew right now, I'm not sure where to begin. Is it me, or does everyone else feel as though they've fallen into some strange parallel universe? The American press have all been snatched by the pod people, saying, "Oops, Iraq was a bad move. Oh, well, just a mistake." Yet in the same breath, they still revile Clinton for a nominal sex act. In what universe does over 1,000 dead Americans and tens of thousands of dead innocent Iraqis equate with one blowjob? I hate to break it to the Republicans and the rest of those who have been blinded by the disease known as Clinton hate. You really all need to step back, take a deep breath, and reassess your values. There is no man's dick on earth that is that important. Or how about conservatives who constantly cry about the lack of family values yet can't abide same-sex marriages? You'd think the four horsemen of the apocalypse were on the move. It's so important to them. Bush wants to pass initiatives that will literally pay straight people to get married, regardless if they love each other or not. Yeah, that's the sanctity of marriage for you. So in essence, it's mainly a cash reward. Yeah, that's good for the kids. Yet he supports a constitutional amendment, which thankfully got voted down in the Senate, banning gays from the same basic rights, who have no interest in the monetary aspect, by the way, most of whom have already been in monogamous relationships for years longer than most straight people and are fighting to have the same rights as everyone else and be allowed something so simple as to be considered next of kin and access to someone who may be in intensive care in a hospital. How did these people get so cruel and filled with so much hate? Some say they are protecting the children, even though, statistically, straight people commit more sex crimes and child abuse than do gay folk. But that has nothing to do with it. Gays are allowed to adopt and have been for years. So, some say it destroys the sanctity of marriage. How exactly does it do that? I hate to be the bearer of the glaring obvious truth, but Christianity does not have a corner on the market on marriage. Believe it or not, there are other faiths on this planet. Quite many of them, in fact, and 99% of them see marriage as sacred, yet not all of them consider homosexuality a sin. In fact, there are many Christians who either don't believe it's a sin to love whomever your heart tells you to, or believe it's not their place to judge. Ready for this? It's God's. No one's marriage affects anyone else's. It doesn't matter who I marry. If your marriage is in good shape, how will I affect it if I marry someone? That someone could be male, or in many men's perfect universe, it could be female. What difference does it make? Or finally, the fact that this twisted administration is so afraid of losing power, they are having lawyers looking into how they legally suspend the election in case of a terror attack. Which in their minds could be someone wearing a shut the fuck up Cheney t-shirt. What a joke. And even Tom Ridge had the nerve today to say it wasn't political. Give me a big ass break. The easiest solution to such a scenario is to have the entire electorate vote absentee. Very simple. But that would mean they'd have to count all the votes. And don't we all know they can't have that happen now, can they? I want to find my way back up the rabbit hole, please. Okay, on to better things. Second week of the Tour de Lance, or Tour de Crash, as it's starting to be called. We are finally getting into the mountains. The rain has gone, the weather has turned sunny, and the party's getting good. Lance is still in sixth, in great shape, only 9.5 minutes off the lead, and things are starting to get shaken up. Go, Lance! Okay, that's it for this week. I would like to get a little shout-out thank you to Steve in Seattle. Steve, as soon as I get some pennies together, I'm going to get some old Bushmills, and I'll tell you exactly what I think. I've been dying to try it. Anyway, liberté, égalité, fraternité, joyeux jour de la Bastille. I'm Tally, and this has been La Perspective Femme.
Issue 1, John Squared. Let's take a look at what John Edwards advocates and legislates. Here are 12 key votes selected as liberal-conservative diagnostics. Co-written by Michael Barone. On a 2003 liberal scale, Edwards comes in as the fourth most liberal of the nation's 100 senators. Number one on that liberal scale is John Kerry. So, Kerry is the nation's number one liberal senator. Edwards is the number four most liberal senator.
But that's according to Michael Barone. And if you don't know who he is a flaming Nazi gas bag. And this pisses me off because the entire GOP echo chamber has gone crazy, screaming that Kerry is the most liberal man that's ever walked the earth, and Edwards is the fourth most liberal man that has ever walked the earth. And it's crazy because they're being called that by a flaming Nazi gas bag. In the idiot whore media, they refuse to set the record straight. They just repeat it. Fox is saying it. The illegal monkey said it yesterday, or Tuesday. CNN is saying it. Everybody is saying it. Everybody is saying it. That Kerry is the most liberal man in the history of the world, all because Michael Barone said so. The flaming Nazi gas bag. Now, where the hell is the journalism ethics? Well, I guess that's a stupid-ass question to bring up, but the reporters will not do their jobs. They hear a rumor from a Nazi gas bag, and they elevate that to fact, and they pretend they've done their damn work.
Question, why is it useful for the Bush-Cheney team to attack the liberalism of the Democratic ticket, Pat Buchanan?
I'll answer that before Buchanan does. And the reason is Cheney knows that the Republican echo chamber will go crazy and repeat any damn thing they say. All they got to say is he's a liberal, and everybody, these whore reporters, are going to multiply that and echo it and spin it and aggravate it and elevate it and repeat it again and again and again.
John, because no liberal's been elected president since 1944. And
interesting that Clinton is not a liberal. When Clinton was in office, he was the most Stalinist, leftist, Leninist, super liberal that ever existed in the history of mankind. And now that they want to demonize the word liberal, they say, well, we can't put that label on Clinton because Clinton was a winner and we can't allow a liberal to be a winner, so we better change our lie about Clinton. I wonder if the vulgar pig boy has heard about this. Maybe Tony Blankley will have something intelligent to say.
35% of the country self-identified conservative, 19%.
You know, I'm so tired of hearing how conservative America is when the Democrats keep winning the popular vote. Remember, last time the Republicans won the popular vote, Ronald Reagan was president that day. So it's been that long since the conservatives have been able to win an election, but they keep telling us how the country is so conservative. If that's true, why don't the conservatives vote? Why can't the conservatives win an election?
This National Journal thing, they counted 62 votes out of thousands and thousands and thousands of Senate votes.
Gee, you mean the Nazi gas bag lied about his opponent's record? Gee, I'm so shocked. But it's the Republicans' job to lie about the Democrats like it's our job to tell the truth about theirs. The difference is, when we say something that's true, we don't have an echo chamber that bounces the same bullshit around the country, around the world, again, again, and again, until, like Goebbels said, you tell it often enough and it becomes the truth.
If you accuse Bush of being a conservative, right, he's proud of it. Right. If you accuse Kerry or Edwards of being a liberal, you feel they're being slandered.
Some of the bad news about politics is how you always have to keep going in circles and repeating yourself because things often don't change. The reason liberal became a dirty word is because the liberals refused to fight back. When Reagan said, "You're a liberal," they said, "Oh, we're sorry, please forgive us." Instead, he had goddamn right on liberal. I believe in equal rights. I believe in civil rights. I don't think we ought to invade other countries for no damn reason. I think we ought to give the people who are behind a break. I think we ought to have a social safety net for the people who can't afford to go to a hospital or feed themselves. Yeah, you goddamn right I'm a liberal. I'm proud of it. But no, "We're sorry, we apologize, I wish we were more like you." And I'm so sick of it. Aren't you sick of it too? I know you're sick of me saying it, but I'm saying it so somebody will say, "All right, goddammit, I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to speak up. I'm going to do what you say, Bart. Let's try it your way. See what happens."
The president was asked on Wednesday what was the essential difference between Edwards and Cheney.
Dick Cheney can be president.
You know, I think one good answer to that is, well, you're a monkey. You're an uneducated, unread, illegitimate, never got elected monkey. Of course Cheney can be president. If you can be president, my cat could be president. Any moron in the country can be president. Dick Cheney can be president. We know, monkey. Anybody can. Look at you. You know, there's a great Bush quote from years and years ago. I assume this was before he started serial lying. But somewhere around the mid to late 80s, Bush said, "I could never be president because I'm basically a media creation and I don't have what it takes." That's not an exact quote, but it's pretty close.
Later in the day, Kerry flung out his riposte, and the crowd just loved it. They wanted more.
He was right that Dick Cheney was ready to take over on day one, and he did, and he has been ever since, folks. And that's what we got to change.
Question, is this an exchange a sign that the fast on his feet Kerry will outperform Bush in a debate?
Well, that goes without saying. What we need, though, is a knockout, because the whore press is going to say Bush did better no matter what. Matter of fact, remember the 2000 debates? They came right out and said, swear to God, they came right out and said, if Bush shows up and gets his name right and knows what state he's from, he's going to win this debate. The right said it, the left said it, everybody agreed. All Bush had to do was arrive and have some idea of what nation he was in, and he was going to win those debates. And they were right. They voted that Bush won the debate because he showed up. I don't understand it. Gore had him 50 times on policy and brains and intelligence and memory and reasoning. He had him on every kind of debate tactic he could ever have. But Bush knew his name. He knew he was from Texas. So they said, Bush is the winner.
What we learned about Edwards during the primaries, if he had the time to stay in a given place, people liked him better. He wore very well. And also on the debates, I don't want to join in this lowering the bar for George W. Bush. He's been president for 4 years. We shouldn't just give him a pass if he can go in and string a few words.
Barring genuine medical misfortune, will Dick Cheney still be on the ticket in November?
Interesting way he put that, barring major medical problems. Yeah, they are stuck with Cheney. To dump Cheney now would be saying we messed up in Iraq. So they are stuck with Cheney, and I love it. I think Kerry and Edwards ought to have Halliburton in every other sentence. They ought to drive that home. I know they won't do it because that's not polite, but they ought to have Halliburton in every speech. They ought to hammer it home again and again. Kerry could easily get up there and say, "I promise that as president, I will not give my personal friends and my supporters billion-dollar no-bid contracts, one after another, like Cheney did with Halliburton. I promise we won't do that. We're not going to give away the United States Treasury to my friends and my benefactors. We're not going to do that. We're going to be different than this White House." And hammer it home. Use the big goddamn hammer and get up there and say, "We're not going to do it. We're not going to give away your money. We're not going to ask you to work hard and send your money to Washington so we can give it to my friends on a bunch of no-bid contracts, hundreds of billions of dollars worth. We're not going to do that. We're going to be different. We're not going to do like these." Hammer hammer, 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 hammer. Just go after him and hammer. But that wouldn't be polite. Letter to the editor. It's time to concede that the Iraq War was a mistake. Now that the bipartisan Senate Intelligence Committee's report has concluded that the evidence we used to justify invading Iraq was false, can we now acknowledge that it was not a good idea to condemn the United Nations and countries that would not support our invasion? That's a good point. France was right. They were all right. Bush was wrong. But we're afraid to admit that because the press won't say it. The press refuses to say it. The press keeps wanting to blame the CIA building for all the troubles. Bush had nothing to do with it. He goes on, can we now see the danger in preemptive war? Can we see the danger in not using war as a last resort? Wait, think about that one for a second. At least a dozen, maybe 20, 25 times, Bush said, we are reluctant to go to war. We only go to war as a last resort. But he was just flat lying because they wanted to invade. Jesus, back in 1998, remember they sent these neocons, they sent Clinton a letter saying, we got to invade right now, we got to invade right now. And then we have proof, thanks to that weirdo over at Judicial Watch, that Cheney and Kenny Boy were going over the Iraqi oil fields in early 2001. That's a fact. It can't be denied. They were always planning to invade from the day one, and when 9/11 came, they were so happy about it. But when Bush said again and again and again, we don't want to go to war. We know this is a last resort. War is always a... We're a peaceful nation, but boy, once you push us, then we get tough. Bush and his manly bullshitisms. We don't want to go to war, but we have to. And then when the Newsweek reporter was there, he said, fuck Saddam, we're taking him out. That's always been the goal. That's always been the plan. And the press will not remind anybody that Bush said 1,000 times, we don't want to go to war, but he always wanted to go to war. You know, John Stewart is the only guy on television that will tell the truth. He's the only guy I trust on television, but he can't cover every subject every day. You got CNN and Fox and all the networks, 24-7, they're giving the Bush propaganda out. And then John Stewart's got a total of 2 hours a week. That's less than 1% of the truth. We're getting 95% lies. I heard a poll today. Bush is still ahead on things like trustworthiness and steadiness and all that. He's ahead of Kerry, the idiot that lied us in the war that killed so many people, and then we're stuck and can't get out of, and the people trust him. How in the hell is that possible? How do you trust the bank-robbing murderer who just ran over some old ladies fleeing the crime scene? And you say, oh, but he's a good guy. Or will we continue to insist that you're either with us or against us, or that since 9/11 everything changed? Is it all right to invade countries based on a hunch that they might be dangerous? Excellent point. One of the worst things is the precedent this sets. So why can't Pakistan invade India now? Because what if India might be thinking about launching? Everywhere you go, why shouldn't China invade Taiwan now? Because what if? Maybe Taiwan may be planning an attack. You never know. But this idiot Bush, God, think of the harm he's done worldwide, maybe for a century. 100 years from now, they're going to be saying, well, it's the Bush doctrine. We kind of had a feeling. That's why we invaded and destroyed and raped and put them on leashes and murdered the ruler's sons. Hunt them down like dogs, which they were. But the idea, that's not our problem. Udi and Kudi, they didn't get a trial. We just ambushed them and murdered them. Will we continue to say that because the world is a better place without Saddam, it doesn't matter that thousands of innocent Iraqis and almost 900 American soldiers have died in a war built on false information? Will we continue to deny that this invasion has decreased our security? Or will we finally say that this administration was wrong for getting us into this unnecessary, deadly mess that is costing lives and billions of dollars and stretching our military beyond proper limits with no end in sight? Oh, if there was only a couple of Democrats that thought this way. Oh, I'm just asking too much. But just think, what if John Kerry stood up and said what was in this? What if any of them did? Take politics out of it. Denying the facts will not save us from their consequences. We must acknowledge the errors, hold the president accountable, and adjust our course. Jeez, that's good. Our future alliance is dependent on it. Our future security depends on it. But no, we're not going to do that. We're going to let Bush off the hook again. He's not responsible. It was the other guy that told him. All Bush did was repeat what he was told because he's a monkey. God, this is so sad. It's sickening. And the whole time he's up there smirking. And even worse than that, the whole time you got idiots like Rush screaming about the liberal media's constantly attacking the president, constantly attacking the president, when they have not ever attacked once, not even a little bit. Not even after the idiot blundered into a war that killed 1,000 people, they won't even lay a feather on him. Little sidebar here. I remember the last radio show we were talking about how Kerry somehow got rated the number one most liberal senator of all time, and that John Edwards suddenly shot to the number four most liberal senator of all time. And I kept asking, who says? By what standard? Who counted the votes? What measuring stick was used to decide this? And it finally came out. You know who decided that? Michael Barone. He's a uber-Nazi that's on McLaughlin a lot. He's a right-wing son of a bitch from the word go, the biggest liar you've ever seen. He did a study, which is about as impartial as me doing a study. And the whole entire press heard that, and they took off on it, and they're all repeating this Michael Barone lie. Think what kind of power that is. To be Mike, odds are you, the listener, has no idea who Michael Barone is. I watch McLaughlin, and he's on there sometimes. It's the only reason I know who he is, but he's certainly not in the top 50 of Nazi bastards in America. But somehow he can create a bullshit lie, and they feed it into this Republican GOP echo chamber that includes the networks, the newspapers, the magazines, the cable, everybody. And it just gets reverberated and built up again and again. Pretty soon you heard it 50 or 100 times. Oh, that's right. Kerry, the most liberal man in the history of the world. It just comes out that way. Because one liar made a claim out of thin air, can't back it up, and everybody repeats it. And it took, swear, 100 listens. After I heard that the 100th time, I finally heard somebody say where it came from. And it came from Michael Barone, uber-Nazi. He made it up. And the whore press just repeated it as loud as they could because they want to see Kerry lose. The press is more afraid of Bush than, no, I guess the Democrats are more afraid of Bush than the press. If the press smells a little blood, they might move in. But I don't think there's anything that'll make a Democrat move. We're going to have to start the Bart Cop Party. I think that's the only way we can get out of this. Yeah, the Bart Cop Party.
Now, we're going to show a clip from your program, and I'm not sure what this is, but I think it is Ali G, and I don't know what he's doing. Do you know what it is?
He's actually interviewing Pat Buchanan.
Oh, Pat Buchanan, that's right.
Yeah.
And
very intelligent guy.
And the discussion is what?
You'll see. It's about Iraq.
Okay.
Yeah.
This from a recent show?
Yeah, it is. I mean, and basically, when I met Pat Buchanan, the idea is within a minute he has to realize that he's dealing with an absolute twit. So this is before the cameras are even rolling. So I say, like, where is we now? And he'll say, he said, you know, we're in Virginia. This is my house in Virginia. And I go, all right, is that in America? And he says, yeah. It's very close. In fact, we're very close to the CIA. Do you know what that is? And I said, yeah, that's the FBI, isn't it? And he goes, no, that's the Central Intelligence Agency, you know, like spies like James Bond. And I go, all right, did you realize that James Bond is not actually a real person? And you suddenly see him realize, oh my God, I'm going to have this guy interview me now for half an hour for an English show.
So that's the key. You got to make them believe within a minute that they're dealing with a moron.
Yeah, I mean, they see me coming in through the door and they assume that I'm just there to carry the cameras or something like that. And I walk in there with a kind of very handsome English guy who's the director. Uh-huh. They assume he's the interviewer. Right. He then introduces me and you see their face drop as they realize.
All right, let's take a look here.
Does you think that Saddam's ever was able to make these weapons of mass destruction, or whatever, or as they is called, BLTs?
Was Saddam able to make them?
Could he make BLTs?
Yes. At one time, he was using BLTs on the Kurds.
John. John Kerry, of course, picked John Edwards to be his running mate. And what a contrast to Dick Cheney. John Edwards is charismatic. He's confident. He's charming. And, of course, Cheney spent the weekend going, you want to see my scar?
Our good friend John Stewart is going to call Wolf the Whore a retard to his face, but he's going to cloud it. He's going to cloak it. He's going to veil it. He's going to mist it up a little bit. John Stewart just wants to grab Wolf the Whore by the throat and strangle him because Wolf was one of the, like everybody else, one of the big cheerleaders of this war. Wolf is just constantly off to war, off to war. Bush is great. Bush is great. You remember a while back we played that clip where he said, you want to remember a little thing called 9/11? What a retard this guy is. So here's Wolf the Whore with John Stewart.
Let me ask you, you work in news, and I don't. The Senate Intelligence Committee, they come out with this report that says, oh, the Iraq War, yeah, that was kind of a funny story. It was a mistake. We were wrong about all that. Taking the country to war based on information that turns out to be completely wrong because it was told to you by a guy named Curveball, shouldn't that be, I mean, just out of curiosity, the biggest scandal we've ever had in the country? Or no? Or is that, am I thinking Filegate?
Now, what a great shot he just got in there. Remember, we spent months and months, maybe a year, just on Filegate. And then there was another year on Travelgate. And then there was 6 or 8 months on Arlington Cemetery for sale. And then there was, and we spent the full 5 years on Monica, which doesn't sound very appetizing, but the idea that the illegal monkey lied us into this war, got 1,000 kids killed, and they're saying, wow, mistakes happen. This is what Wolf the Whore is explaining. Wolf has always been an apologist for the White House. Well, I'm sorry, for the Republicans. And he's about to explain to John here, oh, well, things happen. It's just, yeah, what did I? But what John Stewart is saying, you asshole, you are so reluctant to get into what went wrong here. But when it came time for Clinton Zipper, you were on this thing like a bloodhound. You clamped on with those pit bull teeth and you wouldn't let it go for a second. And here we've got the biggest scandal in history. And you're acting like, oh, well, shit happens.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, isn't
well, you know, you never made a mistake in your life.
Can you believe that? Have you ever made a mistake? No, Wolf. I've never sent 1,000 men to their deaths because I was a greedy son of a bitch. I never have done that, Wolf. And besides, he blames immediately, it's the CIA. Oh, yeah, it's the CIA. Bush was completely, totally in the dark and innocent about this whole thing. It was absolutely no fault of George Bush. It was all the unknown, nameless, faceless CIA. The building lied. Nobody lied, but the building.
CIA's not perfect, and sometimes they get it wrong.
That's right.
They got it wrong.
You know, it really does not work that way. You can't stand up and, as Tennant said, set your hair on fire and start screaming, Saddam's about to launch, Saddam's about to launch. And then when it turns out he doesn't even have a weapon to launch, it's like, oh, well, sorry, my bad. It doesn't work that way. You don't send 1,000 men to their death on a my bad. And I don't know why the whole country is letting them get away with this. And trust me, every Democrat's letting them get away with it, and the press is letting them get away with it. Only a couple of websites. That's all we got to fight back.
But in that situation, shouldn't someone be fired? Or is it, or not? I could be wrong. And by the way, feel free to fire me.
Well, George Tenet did leave this weekend.
After being told he was doing a superb job.
Right. Check out this crowd. This has got to be the hippest crowd in all of television. They're laughing at what John is doing to the idiot whore. That's fantastic. When the Bush apologist points out that, well, he did go, then John, the comedian, has to point out, hey, fuckhead, he was praised before he resigned of his own free will. That's a little different than getting fired, having your boss tell you you're doing a superb job, and then you decide to retire. That's not quite the same as being fired. Wolf, the whore, I would like to slap you myself.
In defense of George Tenet, I'll say this. We never know the successes because they're kept secret. The failures, we all know.
Are there wars we haven't fought? Are there countries we have not invaded? You know, if it weren't for the CIA, we'd be in North Korea right now.
Possible. It's possible.
Another incredibly stupid thing for this idiot to say. Can you believe it? He sounds like Cheney or Powell or Rice. He's barking the company line. You can just tell he works for Bush by this tone of voice. He doesn't have an objective bone in his goddamn body. And somewhere else, I need to say this before I forget it, but you know, one of the biggest crimes that Wolf and everybody is guilty of, they never said, Cheney claims they have weapons of mass destruction. No, they just took their claims and elevated it to a fact. They just said, the United States is going to shut down Saddam's weapons. They gave us the facts that were actually the bullshit spin of the Bush administration. Wolf, the whore, and the others, they elevate those opinions to facts. That's not journalism. Journalism is when you see something and you write down what you saw. When someone tells you, you know, I can walk up to Wolf the Whore and say, I hit 800 home runs in Major League Baseball. So Wolf's going to go run on the air and say, Bart hit 800 home runs? No, he's going to ask me for some proof. But when anyone with an R behind their name tells something to Wolf, it's immediately gospel. And Wolf goes on the air with the gospel. The BFEE has got the entire media on their payroll. Jesus, that's hard to figure out.
Who is going to, even the idea that the Senate Intelligence Committee is come up with this report, wasn't their job to do that originally?
Originally, yes. But
so
that was looking back
them?
With hindsight. The American people, we have the right to investigate them and the media and look back and say, you know
okay.
what, mistakes were made.
Wolf, I don't think you get it. You're sitting there claiming you had the right to ask questions, but Stewart's asking you why the fuck you didn't ask the questions. Wolf just sits there pretending he's too stupid to understand what point John's trying to get to. But the reason he's doing that is because he can't tell the truth because he doesn't want to confess to being a Bush whore right on the air, right in front of John and his hostile audience.
Is the media doing anything? Like at CNN, do they have meetings where they say, you know what, we should have asked that?
I think that we do that.
You do have meetings?
We have meetings.
At those meetings.
We have conference calls, too.
After you guys figure out who gets that last crawler.
Yeah.
So what does the media do differently?
I think we learn from our mistakes and try to do it better the next time.
Specifically.
We learn from our mistakes and try to do it better the next time. We look back and say,
you know what?
We should have been more skeptical.
But, Wolf, you say you should have been more skeptical, but listen to you. You're sitting there repeating every bullshit line that the Bush administration gave you before, during, and after the war. It's like Bush is being attacked and Wolf is trying to somehow come to the man's aid, but Bush lied and killed 1,000 men. And Wolf keeps defending the man that he says we should have been tougher on earlier. Well, Wolf, why don't you knock it off? You say you should have been more skeptical. Why don't you start? When are you going to be more skeptical? 2006, 2010? Or are you just going to wait for a Democrat to show up and then get into a zipper and then be skeptical, you son of a...
Come on, it was a...
You know, we're trained to be skeptical by our very nature. That's what
Why
journalists...
Why were you? Because people...
I think we could have been more skeptical. I think we... Look, I...
Are
I
they
was...
afraid of the Bush administration? Is the Bush administration so ham-handed? Are they so forceful
that
they have intimidated the press corps into not asking those questions?
No. The answer is no.
Wolf, it's a good damn thing you're sitting there talking to John Stewart instead of me. He's trying to give you a chance to explain. He's saying, why didn't you ask the questions? And you're saying, well, gee, maybe we could have been more skeptical, maybe. And then he says, so why the hell didn't you ask the right questions? Why didn't you do something? Why didn't you take some kind of action? Wolf had a chance to say, yes, the White House and the Bush administration put a whole lot of pressure on reporters to spin things their way. He could have been honest and said that. But no, by defiantly saying, nope, not at all. Well, then fucking explain yourself. Why didn't you do your job? We got 1,000 dead men, Wolf. Part of that is on you, Wolf, because you refuse to ask the questions. Just like Michael Moore said, CBS News, that's propaganda. ABC, CNN, all you sons of bitches, you only wanted to push this war. You knew it would help with the ratings, and you knew it would help your hero, George Bush. So you pushed this war, you blew all the trumpets and waved all the pom-poms. You did everything you could to make this war happen. You believed every word they told you. You're not a reporter, you're a whore.
Is the press corps, and again, I'm going to use your word, suffering from groupthink? or another word, retardation? Come on. Tell me the truth. I want to know. I'm really curious. I'm baffled.
It's groupthink. Not retardation.
It is groupthink.
Groupthink. You know, when you're told repeatedly, and I was told by going into the war. I went off to the war. I went off to Kuwait. You know, you probably remember.
I do remember seeing you in Kuwait City.
So I remember going off. I had all the briefings. I went over. I got the briefings from the CIA, the Pentagon.
Right.
Spoke to all the members of Congress, the intelligence committees, the House side, the Senate side. Everybody said the same thing. There is no doubt there are stockpiles of chemical and biological weapons, and it's only a matter of time before he has a nuclear bomb.
But, Wolf, we got that same problem. You didn't say, everyone's telling me he has a bomb. You said he has a bomb. There's a big difference.
Remember Condoleezza Rice said on my show, Late Edition with Wolf Blitzer. Did you mention that? She said, we can't wait for a smoking gun to be a mushroom cloud. You remember that?
You're exactly right. And as it turns out, Pakistan had already sold mushroom cloud material to every country in the area but Iraq. Crazy. The whole thing's crazy. Woo! Woo!
Well, I think that was John's way of closing the interview by giving Wolf the big F-U right on the air. What he did, he said, it's all crazy, and he just started spinning in circles in his chair, screaming, woo, woo. In other words, I'm not going to get anything out of you. You're going to lie no matter what question I ask. You're going to give me the Bush return. You refuse to accept any responsibility for the poor job you did, and you're spending all your time apologizing for the Bush idiot who killed 1,000 guys so he could steal Iraq's oil. And let's not forget that one little thing. He let Osama go to go after Saddam. And, of course, that's not important. We got to talk about Monica some more. That's important. And I think it gets back to John's original point. We got the biggest scandal in history, was that Filegate? He knows that Wolf is not ever going to do his job and go after the big story about why 1,000 men are dead because Bush screwed up. No, you know, we don't even talk about that anymore. It's just not a big deal. That's why John just starts screaming, it's crazy, crazy, and spinning in circles. Okay, so the interview is over, but he still has to close the show. And as you know, he closes the show with a moment of zen. That's where he picks out maybe something from the show that he repeats or something that would complement what you've heard. Check out how he ends the show. He plays a little piece of tape from July 03, something that the networks and talk radio and the cable channels, everybody wants to cover up and hide, but Jon Stewart found this, pulled it out, and he's doing the job that the networks and the news divisions ought to be doing. Listen to the clip.
Here it is, your moment is in.
You know, I think the intelligence I get is darn good intelligence. And the speeches I have given were backed by good intelligence.
So a year ago, July 03, somebody asked Bush, well, wait a minute, how good is the intelligence here? Are we just stumbling from country to country hoping to find something? Bush says, no, this is good, solid stuff. I'm telling you, it's good, it's solid, we got good intelligence. He's just lying. A year later, he said, well, intelligence was flawed, we don't know why. Well, you were damn confident back then. You were damn confident. You were so confident, you went before the American people and you stared him in the eye and says, he's got these weapons, we've got to go to war. It's funny how Jon Stewart is the only one that produces tape. Everybody else, they want to help Bush. They're protecting Bush. They don't want him to look stupid. They don't want him to look like a liar. So they're helping Bush. Every day, the networks, the newspapers, everybody helping Bush every day. Not telling us what he said, telling us what he meant to say. Not quoting him directly, telling us what he must have meant. And to cover up for him, again and again, 1,000 men we're going to have dead before this is all out. And they keep covering up for Bush. Why?
Just begun. I got all sorts of new dark shit for you, my man.
You ever dance with the devil in the moonlight?
I don't know what my attitude is. I'm trying to work on it all the time, you know. I'm drinking water tonight. That's pretty amazing. Water. It's really weird how your life changes. You know what I mean? Water. 4 years ago, opium. Isn't that weird? I mean, really. It's night and day. Night and fucking day. Some of y'all may remember me as a drinker. I was a weekend drinker. You know, I'd start on Saturday, end on Friday, and thought I was controlling it there. I don't drink anymore. I don't do drugs anymore either than, I'd say, the average touring funk band. If I had to add it up. I don't do drugs anymore either. But I'll tell you something about drugs. I used to do drugs, but I'll tell you something honestly about drugs, honestly, and I know it's not a very popular idea. You don't hear it very often anymore, but it is the truth. I had a great time doing drugs. Sorry. Never murdered anyone, never robbed anyone, never raped anyone, never beat anyone, never lost a job, a car, a house, a wife, or kids, laughed my ass off, and went about my day. Sorry. Now, where's my commercial? Why don't I get a commercial? Why is it always that other guy that gets the commercial? I lost my job, then my house, then my wife, then my car, then my kids. Don't do drugs. Well, I'm definitely not doing them with you. Fuck! Man, you're bumming me out. Get him out of here. Who invited Mr. Doom over? Get that guy out of here. The guy by the dip. He's bumming everyone out. He hadn't stopped talking. I wish he'd lose his fucking voice. I mean, I've lost my car before. Okay. Found it the next day. You know, no biggie. I don't think that warranted a commercial. I lost my car and... No, oh, there it is by that dumpster. Forget it. See you tomorrow. You know, I've lost stuff. I'm not saying that. I knew we were in trouble in that damn egg commercial, that guy. I knew that was the government's take on drugs. You know, we're fucked, believe me. Here's your brain. I've seen a lot of weird shit on drugs. I've never, ever, 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 ever looked at an egg and thought it was a fucking brain. Not once, all right? I have seen UFOs split the sky like a sheet, but I have never, ever, ever looked at an egg and thought it was a fucking brain. Not once. I have had seven balls of light come off of a UFO, lead me onto their ship, explain to me telepathically that we are all one and there is no such thing as death. But I have never, ever, ever, ever looked at an egg, thought it was a fucking brain. Now, maybe I wasn't getting good shit. I admit it, I see that commercial, I feel cheated. Hey, where's the stuff that makes eggs look like brains? That sounds neat. Did I quit too soon? What is that, CIA stash? You see the guy in that commercial? Guy's got a beer gut. All right, this is it. Look up, man. This is your brain. I ain't doing this again. That's your brain. The guy's drunk doing the fucking commercial, man. Here's your brain. That's an egg. That's a frying pan. That's a stove. You're an alcoholic. Dude, I'm tripping right now. And I still see that as a fucking egg, all right? I see the UFOs around it, but that is a goddamn egg in the middle. There's a hobbit eating it, but goddammit, that hobbit is eating a fucking egg. He's on a unicorn, but that's a fucking egg, yeah. How dare you have a wino tell me not to do drugs? Why did I quit? Because after you've been taken aboard a UFO, it's kind of hard to top that, all right? You know, they have Alcoholics Anonymous. They don't have Alien Anonymous. Tell you what, though, going to AA meetings, which I have to do, but going there and hearing people talk about their fucking booze stories, you know, I'm sitting there. You know, I love the taste of gin. It's just so good. Fuck you. I've been on a UFO. Fuck off. I went drinking with aliens, you fucker. Shut up. I lost my wife. I lost an alien culture who wanted to take me to the planet Arcturus. Fuck you. I mean, I don't know if I've gotten the resentment, you know, forgiveness part down in the program, but... One day at a time. I just cannot, you know, believe in a war against drugs when they have anti-drug commercials on TV all day long, followed by this bud's for you. I got news for you, folks. A1, alcohol is a drug. B2, and here's the rub, alcohol kills more people than crack, coke, and heroin combined each year. So, thanks for inviting me to your little alcoholic drug den here tonight. You fine, upstanding citizens, you. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Now... You know why? If I was going to have a drug be legal, it would not be alcohol. You know why? There's better drugs and better drugs for you. That's a fact. So you can stop your internal dialogue. Well, wait a minute, Bill. Alcohol is an acceptable form of social interaction, which for thousands of years has been the norm under which human beings have congregated and formed social events, and they would congregate. Shut the fuck up. Your denial is beneath you, and thanks to the use of hallucinogenic drugs, I see through you. Pot is a better drug than alcohol. Fact, and I'll prove it to you. You're at a ball game, you're at a concert, someone's really violent, aggressive, and obnoxious. Are they drunk, or are they smoking pot? The one and only correct answer. Tell them what they want, Johnny. I've never seen people on pot get in a fight because it is fucking impossible. Hey, buddy. Hey, what? End of argument. Say you get in a car accident and you've been smoking pot. You're only going 4 miles an hour. Shit, we hit something. Forgot to open the garage door, man. Gotta get the garage door open so Domino's knows we're home. But I'll tell you the truth. I have never heard one reason that rang true why marijuana is against the law. That rang true now. I'm not talking about the reasons the government tells us, because I hope you notice. I think you do. All governments are lying cocksuckers. Yeah! I hope you know that. Good. All right. I mean, marijuana grows everywhere, serves 1,000 different functions, all of them positive. To make marijuana against the law is like saying God made a mistake. You know what I mean? It's like God on the seventh day looked down at his creation and said, there it is, my creation, perfect and holy in all ways. Now I can rest. Oh, my me. I left fucking pot everywhere. I should never have smoked that joint on the third day. If I leave pot everywhere, that's going to give people the impression they're supposed to use it. Now I have to create Republicans. So you see, it's a vicious cycle. And I'm not promoting the use of drugs, believe me. I'm not. I've had bad times on drugs, okay? I mean, look at this haircut. Tell you, I live in New York now, man. I tell you, man, the war on drugs has definitely taken a ceasefire there. I mean, it's incredible. They sell drugs out loud on the streets. Heroin, 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 coke, 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 smoke, smoke. Heroin, heroin. Those guys bug the shit out of me. So I'm walking down the street one day. This guy's walking ahead of me, passes one of those dealers. He looks at him. He goes, heroin, heroin, heroin. I pass him. He looked at me. He goes, glue. Glue. can afford heroin, you fucker. I'm doing laundry right now. As soon as my shirt's out of the cleaners, I'm coming back and buying some of that shit from you. He embarrassed me to death, all right? I was mortified. Blue. Fucker. Where's a bank machine? Come here. Come here, Mr. Dealer. Come here. I'm going to show you my balance. Then I'm going to buy heroin from that little kid across the street. Fuck you. New York's a rather tense town.
You are listening to Bart Cop Radio at BartCop.com. Keeper of the Democratic Jewels.
Well, that was show 47. I hope you liked it. We're off to Chicago now to play a little poker with some Bart Festers. Going to have a good time there, I'm sure. Going to drink some fine tequila. Going to meet some old friends. Going to meet some new friends. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate you subscribing. The subscribers keep us on the air. That's a good thing. We're going to fight this Bush monster until he's gone. Hopefully that'll be 4 more months. I'd hate to think it's going to be 52 more months. Oh, my God, we're going to need more liquor and more humor if somehow he squeaks a victory out of this. But maybe Kerry will kick his ass in the debate so hard the people will say, I don't want this guy anymore. He's caused too much trouble. F him. Would be nice. So hang in there. I'll get to work on show 48. Thanks for listening. Bart out.
My kind of town, Chicago is. My kind of town, Chicago is. My kind of people, too. People who smile at you and each time I roam. Chicago is calling me home. Chicago is why I just grin like a clown. It's my kind of town. Town Chicago is my kind of town. Chicago is my kind of razzmatazz, and it has all that jazz. And each time I leave Chicago is chugging my sleeve. Chicago is the Wrigley Building. Chicago is the Union Stockyard. Chicago is one town that won't let you down. It's my